Scripture this morning is taken from Proverbs 8, verses 1 to 4, and again 22 to 31. And in this, wisdom is portrayed as a woman, which seems odd in a patriarchal society. The relationship between wisdom and God is also about the relationship between God and humanity. Lady Wisdom speaks of wisdom versus foolishness. Reading from Proverbs 8. Does not wisdom call, and does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portal, she cries out, "To you, O people, I call, and my cry is to all that live." The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of long ago. Ages ago I was set up. At the first, before the beginning of the earth, when there were no depths, I was brought forth, when there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth, when he had not yet made earth and fields or the world's first bits of soil, when he established the heavens, I was there, when he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master worker, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the human race. The word of the Lord. The second lesson is taken from Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. And in this, Paul has convinced us all that the only way to salvation is to be justified by grace through faith. Being justified by faith, one has peace with God. So reading from Romans 5, results of justification. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. The word of the Lord.
Our gospel lesson comes from John, chapter 16, verses 12 through 15. And the context of this is that Jesus is in the upper room with his disciples on the day before his death, the evening before his death. And he's been talking to his disciples. These are kind of the final instructions he's trying to give them before he is to die. And just a few verses before these, Jesus said that told his disciples that he was leaving them and that he was going to prepare a place for them. And in his Father's house, there are many rooms and that he would bring them back, or he would come back to bring them there. And he also spoke of that he was the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. And then he says, because you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And then this picks up after those verses. And this is Jesus speaking. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine, and for this reason I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the word of the Lord. Today is Trinity Sunday. Every year, the Sunday after Pentecost, the church recognizes it in the calendar as Trinity Sunday. And the Trinity as we know it is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God, one essence, one substance, but three people, three persons. Sounds quite simple, right? Or is it somewhat more confusing and complicated? It seems the older I get, the more difficult and confusing it is. Now, there are two ways that you can approach a difficult and hard lesson. You can, one, use big words, talk loud, talk long, trying to make you think that I know what I'm talking about. And just because you can't understand it doesn't mean that it's not hard to understand. That's one approach. The second approach is to just sit down and shut up. Will you close with me in prayer now? Or maybe there's a third way. You're familiar with the KISS principle, I would assume. Keep it simple, stupid, or keep it short, stupid. Either one applies for now. I'm going to try to do both. But first, we need to begin with a little bit of history about the Trinity. The Bible never uses the word Trinity. This is a concept that the theologians came up with after the church had been established. In fact, it was some 300 years later when they really started to get a good grasp of it. But you can find elements of it throughout the Bible. In Proverbs, we read about the wisdom being before time, that wisdom being part of God. In our two New Testament lessons, we have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit mentioned in both passages. How they work together to bring about God's work. But the theologians couldn't agree on how it all was to come together. In fact, that the Trinity is one of the major reasons why there was the split between the Roman Catholic Church and the Eastern Orthodox Church. Over just the language of what it meant to be Trinity. God being one essence, once a substance, but being three persons. They couldn't figure it out. And I have to tell you, if the theologians that have gone before me, who are far wiser, far more educated than I am, can't come up with a solution that everybody can accept, don't expect any breakthroughs from me. Remember, we're operating under the KISS principle. So, how do you explain the Trinity? Well, I heard someone say, how do you explain the color red to someone who was born blind? How do you explain colors to someone who's never seen colors? We who have limited capacity in understanding great spiritual truths are not always able to grasp things such as the Trinity. One God, three persons. How does it all fit together? Sometimes we just have to accept it by faith. Recognizing that God is one, but there are three aspects of God that work in different ways. And we see this in the scripture text that we had, where the Father's love has been revealed to us through the Son, and redemption has come through the Son, and the Holy Spirit is there to confirm it, to lead us into all truth, and to teach us the things that we need to know. People have tried to come up with analogies of what the Trinity is like. One is the Trinity is like H2O. In its liquid state, it's water. In its gaseous state, it's steam. In its solid state, it's ice. The problem with analogies is if you take them too far, they break down and they don't work any further. One that I like is myself. Take me. I am a human being, a man. But I function as a husband, a father, a pastor. When I walk all that great distance across the parking lot to come into the building, and I work on a sermon, and I prepare for worship, and I lead in worship, and I do Bible studies, and I do pastoral care, and I provide leadership on the directions that we need to be moving as a church, that's all the function of a pastor. But then when I make that long trek back across the parking lot and go home, I become a husband. I love my wife. I support my wife. And together, we make a home. My kids aren't home right now, but I love my children. And as often as I can, I let them know that. And I support them in what they're doing. And I give them advice, sometimes whether they want it or not. And dare I say, sometimes I will give them a kick in the rear end when they need it. Three very different functions, one person. And you can only take that so far. But in the Bible, we're told that this Trinity, this triune God, we have God the Father, who is the Creator, the one that loves us so much that he gave his Son. The Word that was with God in the beginning, and the Word that was God in the beginning, and the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. This Jesus who came to reveal to us the Father, and then through his death and his resurrection has paved the way so that we might have that relationship with God. And then the Holy Spirit, the sustainer, the encourager, the empowerer, the one that dwells within us, that offers us the fruit of the Spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness. The Spirit that is shaping and molding us into the people that God wants us to be. The Holy Spirit that can take the groanings that we have so deep inside of us that our words can't express and turn those groanings into a prayer. This past week I was with my lectionary group, and we were talking about evangelism and mission and pastoral care and Christian education and discipleship. And in our discussion, we didn't always agree on the definition of what each of those were. We held to all of them, but we didn't necessarily agree. And as we continued to talk, we recognized that sometimes mission and evangelism overlap each other. That Christian and education and pastoral care sometimes intertwine with one another. And that for evangelism and mission to take place, sometimes we've got to have the Christian ed before it, or sometimes it's part of it. And just that they all seem to mesh together. And one of the folks there said, "Isn't that missional?" And we all kind of paused there for a second. And we said, "Yeah, that is. It's when all these things are working together. They join together and they work together for the common purpose of lifting up the church, strengthening, building the church so the church can go out and do its mission into the world." And as we thought about that some, it was like, that's the Trinity. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Different functions, but often intertwining with one another, mixing with one another, but all going toward the same purpose, to finish the work that creation has started. Paul describes the church as a body with arms and legs and ears, nose, eyes, and that the body works together so that it accomplishes what it's trying to do. And the church is like this body, and we each have different gifts and talents that we bring to the body. And we function in different ways, but we're all functioning together to do the work that God has called us to do. So maybe Trinity Sunday is not so much about trying to understand the Trinity itself, but recognizing that we have been called by God to join with God, to join with this triune God, to do the work that God has called us to do, to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love others as we love ourselves, to go out into the world and make disciples of all nations, to work toward the coming of God's kingdom. We join with God, the triune God, to do great and wonderful things for God. I'm going to continue with the KISS principle now, and I'm going to shut up and sit down.